I'm talking to Michael Sfard. He's the legal counsel for Peace Now's Settlement Watch project, and he's visiting Washington. We would like to ask him about the legal status of the settlements, and particularly, can Israel do what it is now requested to do, which is to freeze the settlements? Legally, can Israel do it?
There is no question, there is no legal question that Israel, the government of the state of Israel, and the Israeli military, which is the ruler of the West Bank, has all the legal tools to fully stop all construction in the West Bank at any stage. I know that there are reports that the Israeli Minister of Defense, Ehud Barak, has told Mitchell and the American administration that he is bound by some legal constraints. If that is true, if that's what he said, then that was a false statement. We have precedents, or two precedences, from the beginning of the 1990s, when the late Prime Minister Rabin has decided to freeze settlements, and builders, contractors, and settler municipalities have petitioned the Israeli High Court with no success. It's clear today, the legal doctrine is very established, that the government of Israel has a wide discretion to stop construction whenever it chooses because of a change of policy.
So it has the authority to do it. How about the danger of a whole wave of petitions to the Supreme Court?
Well, I don't see that as a danger. I think since the legal framework and the normative framework is very clear, I don't see those petitions successful. I think companies, entities, people who are building in the West Bank will probably be entitled to compensation for the loss of earnings or for their investment, reimbursement of their investment. But the government has the authority. If the government of Israel has the right and the power and the authority to decide on dismantling settlements and disengagement from Gaza or changing or pulling out of the West Bank, it definitely has the authority to do less than that, to freeze construction.
Do you see any other legal complications that are involved with the settlement freeze?
Yes, I think there are several threats to the viability of the policy of freeze as a basis for resumption of the peace process. One problem that I find which might haunt us in the near future is the fact that all the parties involved in advocating settlement freeze are not addressing the issue of planning. For them, settlement freeze is only stopping actual construction on the ground, that a brick will not be laid on a brick in the West Bank. However, those bricks are being laid on the ground only after a long process of planning. And if planning would not be freezed, then we will find ourselves, after a declaration of settlement freeze policy, we will find ourselves that a week after week or month after month, with headlines stating that the relevant planning board of the West Bank has authorized a new neighborhood. Now, the fact that the government of the state of Israel would say this is only on paper, this is not actual construction, that would not help, because for the Palestinians that would be a deal breaker. They know, they have the experience that plans authorized will eventually be materialized, and so planning must be addressed. Also, the planning is dangerous, because later on, when the freeze will be defreezed, if such thing happens, instead of having a time when planning should start, the time of freeze would be exploited to prepare the day after. And the day after means thousands of units immediately being built. The second threat that I find to the freezing of construction and settlements policy is the ever-growing phenomena of settler violence. We're all aware of settlers' violence. It is old age as the age of settlements. But I think that lately the phenomena has changed shape, has transformed into something different. It's no longer just a case of hooligans, hot-tempered, racist, who, when angry, go and attack Palestinian communities. In the recent year, we have encountered the very sad fact that those attacks are coordinated, organized, with an aim to achieve political goals. So
it's a strategy, they have a name for it. Don't they call it a price tag?
Policy, that's right. The price tag policy, and it's very, if you ignore the moral sides of it and you analyze it, it's a very smart tactic. They have decided that every time an outpost is being evacuated or an illegal house is being demolished, they will attack Palestinian villages in a different place. They will set fire to crops, they will set fire to houses, and they will create a cycle of violence which will coerce a shift, a diversion of the manpower of the security forces to those places. Sometimes that will cause a failure in the mission of dismantling the outpost, and other times, even when the outpost eventually is dismantled, it will create deterrence on the side of the authorities not to engage in these missions unless, you know, absolutely necessary. So such, I think that the actors involved in the policy of settlement freeze are not aware of the threat that settlers' violence pose, and that must become an issue. It must become an issue because the IDF, which is trained and to protect Israelis, must make some kind of a shift and understand that it also has to protect Palestinians. And in order for the soldier on the ground to do that, in order for him to protect Palestinians, he needs to get the right orders. And in order for him to get the right orders, his commanders must get the right orders from the political echelon. And the political echelon in Israel would not give such orders unless they understand that this is something the international community is really concerned about.
Thank you very much, Mikhail.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.